The rule of Lot, Allah provides us with guidance, and we need, after the Prophet, Imams. Wujuduhu Lutf. Just his existence is Lutf, because he has lots of benefits, lots of functions. But if he is able, on top of that, to be working as Imam and implementing his leadership position, this is extra Lutf. Lutfun akhar. Tasarrufuhu Lutfun akhar. Then why he is not there if Allah has to provide us with lutf? Adamuhu minna. The fact that Imam is not acting as Imam among us now is because of us, not because Allah doesn't have favor. Allah has lutf. He's latif. But we have not prepared the ground. We are actually creating obstacles. So, promise of Allah that He would have always someone to help us, to guide us. لكل قوم هاد. There would be Khalifa في الأرض. This is true. The promise of Imam in آخر الزمان, in end of time, establishing universal justice. Also, that promise is also guaranteed.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karim Adi Alim Halim Hakim Mati. شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمن
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. English Radio.
Supplication is the wealth of the believer and the bridge by which one achieves proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Exalted.
A path to salvation, a way to connect the two worlds. On the program, Bridge.
You're listening to the program Bridge on RIB English Radio with Sheikh Al-Musavi.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan al-la'in al-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to IRIB English Radio. We are looking at the supplication of Al-Imam Ali As-Sajjad alayhi as-salam, specifically supplication number 8. where the Imam seeks refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from few number of vices, amongst of which having less patience, sabr. We did say that we need patience in a number of places. One of the places that we need sabr is when we are trialed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or we are facing a calamity or a problem. So we ask the question, why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala trials or sends calamities towards His servants? One of the reasons is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to purify me and you from sins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He does understand that we as human beings, we are frail, we are weak, we can't bear and handle punishment, especially the punishment of hellfire, God forbid. We can't handle it, and especially for the mu'mineen, the believers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has came up with a system and a way where He could cleanse me and you of our sins before we get punished in hellfire. So He says, I will make sure that I cleanse you here, so when you come to me, you come to me clean and pure. Now, this is a big mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He sees me sinning, He will send the problem to me. And I have to suffer in this case, and I have to exercise patience, of course. And then, once I pass, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, okay, your sin has been forgiven, we won't punish you in hell, fire, God forbid. So this is a mercy. Imam As-Sadiq alayhi as-salam, he said in one of the beautiful narrations, we have to read for you, but first let us take a break and then we come back.
A path to salvation. A way to connect the two worlds.
The bridge between Allah and His creation.
A bridge that is meant to take us to Allah, to take us to His proximity. A bridge that is in the form of dua and supplication.
In this program, we offer commentary on the du'as of As-Sahifatu Sajjadiyah of Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam.
The famous book of litanies, the Psalms of Islam.
Bridge.
Rabbana, Rabbana,
welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program, A Bridge, coming to you from IRIB English Radio. We said that one of the beautiful narrations from Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam, in this regard, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cleanses the mu'mineen in this world by throwing problems and calamities their way, so He would not punish them on the day of judgment. The Imam is talking to one of his companions, called Yunus. He said to him, Ya Yunus, Inna al-mu'mina akramu ala Allah ta'ala min an yamurra alayhi 40 yawman la yumahhasu fiha min dhunubih. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more generous that when it comes to a believer, that 40 days passes on him, that he does not cleanse him from his sins. Walau bi ghammin, even if it's just a matter of just making him sad and upset. Yusibuhu. So Allah might send a big thing to you, or you know, during a 40-day period, or sometimes just, you know, you feel sad, you feel upset, you feel like you're out of order for an hour or two, for a day. And then the Imam says, La yadri ma wachu. The person doesn't understand, why am I sad? What's going on with my life? You know, I'm sure most of us have been through that stage where we feel depressed, we feel sad, but we don't know why. So the Imam says, فَيَكُونُ ذَلِكَ حَطًّا لِبَعْضُ ذُنُوبِهِ. That would be a cause for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to relieve him and cleanse him of some of his sins. So Allah is generous. He says, you guys have a lot of sins. You have made a lot of mistakes. And I need to cleanse you. He cleanses us depending on our capacity. And obviously the least is just to make us upset and sad for a day, just so He does what? He cleanses us. So every 40 days, Allah says, not a 40 days that pass without me cleansing you. The cleansing sometimes happens daily for some believers. Sometimes it happens more often, frequently. Sometimes it could be every 2 weeks. But at least for 40 days, a person, a mu'min, has to be trialed in order to be cleansed from his sins. Let us take a short break and then we come back.
You're listening to the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program A Bridge, coming to you from IRIB Radio. We said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to cleanse me and you of our sins in this world by sending problems and calamities to us in this world, even if it's just a headache. We have a hadith from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, says, Sida'u laylatin yahattu kulli khati'atin illa al-kabair. A headache of one night, he says, it demolishes every sin except the major sins. So having a headache for one night, you're going through pain, you're not sleeping, you're complaining, you're, I don't know, a person starts to nag and this and that. But Allah saying, this pain that you're going through is a cause to demolish and remove and cleanse you, purify you from all your sins. Why should you be complaining about it? You should be thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we can see that even body pain is actually a form of cleansing for the believer. Of course, except the major sins. Major sins being the sins that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised those who commit them hellfire, like despair from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, committing adultery, and so on and so forth. So we have about 550 or more or less major sins, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, these ones I cannot forgive, unless a person obviously repents to Allah, which is a different story. But having pain, having, you know, suffering, if it, whether it's physical, whether it's mental, like the hadith we read before, a person feels sad and depressed, or what it is, life matters, or where it is, life matters. It is all for my benefit. I should not be complaining. I should be happy. And we have many a hadith in this regard. Even there's a hadith from Imam Baqir alayhi salam, where he says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends sickness and disease to a person just to cleanse him. And even when a person dies, Allah makes the process of extracting his soul very severe, that when his soul finally leaves the body, he leaves all his sins behind. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala constantly trying to find ways to make sure that he does not throw me and you in hellfire, that he does not get to punish me and you in hellfire. So we face with all these problems in life, calamities and what have you, but we need to have patience and understand them for what they are. Thank you for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Al Musawi in the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio.
Hargiz nagirat to abad aqa kasi jaye to ra hargiz makhod az kaf dahan عشق و تولای تو را
8-year defense of Iranian combatants.
A senior Iranian lawmaker has said,
contrary to Washington's claims, America's
President Raisi has emphasized that
U.S. sanctions have failed to extract concessions from Tehran.
Iran Today.
Tick, 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 and a few shots, and there it is. The Iranian post-Islam solar calendar turns 15 centuries and a year old, March the 20th. Most years, March the 21st. The occasion, however, goes way back to the 6th century before Christ or so, when Iran was Zoroastrian. But the tradition continues in its time-adapted form with Qurans on the New Year or Hafsin table. New Year's the deal, everywhere. And Iran's is when all comes to life, first of spring, with roots in antiquity. What better place to do a piece on it than one of Tehran's prominent museums? Except it's hard to tell which is overwhelming. The ancient tradition Nowruz, literally New Day or New Year, or this glassware museum with objects 2-3 times as old as Nowruz itself, possibly. For more on this tradition and how it's being handled in today's economy, stay with me, Leila Faramarzi, on Iran Today. Local musicians call in Nowruz, piping and beating on tambourines to a local tune, most prominently in Damavand and Mazandaran province. Each locality welcomes in the rolling spring with a slightly different flavor. And by locality, I don't just mean different provinces of Iran. Peoples and countries stretched across the Silk Route have celebrated Nowruz from olden days when Iranian ways and beliefs stretched far and wide. Now, over 300 million people over these countries are celebrating the tradition. At the Glassware or Abgina Museum, I got to talk to the Cultural Heritage Organization chief, Mr. John Fishon.
Nowruz is an ancient tradition of ours that marks the start of the solar year. It's celebrated in several Asian countries. Nowruz marks a change in nature and also a change in the personal lives of people when the new year arrives. This is both a physical and spiritual change. Therefore, Nowruz may be the only tradition in the world that starts at the beginning of the year when the spring comes and the nature renews itself. What I think is very important is that we have unique historical and cultural tourism in Iran. One of these holidays is our Nowruz holidays. These are part and parcel of our religion and civilization and the roots of a nation.
As the cold and dark peel off to give way to sunny spring, the Haftsin or Seven Scenes table displays objects symbolizing purity, brightness, abundance, happiness and fertility for the new year. Each of the seven objects start with the letter S or Sin in Persian. I'll bring you back to the table. But first, a little on how people have managed to do their New Year shopping next to setting their tables with prices going through the roof, given inflation stands at a 40% high, no less, and local currency at a low of 260,000 to 70,000 rials to the dollar. Mr. Mojtabai is Secretary General to the Iran Chamber of Guilds. It was a pleasure to have him, although on Skype.
You see, according to the decision of the Supreme Employment Council, the minimum wage increased by about 57%, while the average wages were raised by 38%, as about 2 million turmans are considered as supplementary benefits to the base salaries. On average, we can say that average wages are up by 47% this year. This means that, on average, the cost for the workforce in the economic activities, including production, distribution and services, will be up by 47% alone. This is a pretty substantial sum, because in our economy, the prices are determined by the cost of the workforce rather than the technology behind the production.
Well, public and government assistance to low-income families is high on the government's agenda, but the situation is dire, with ready money at a low. Given U.S. sanctions and domestic long-term mismanagement and corruption.
We are dealing with the issue of the allocation of subsidized foreign reserves to different goods, whether or not it has to be removed altogether at the same time or gradually, or if we can remove it for target groups. The government is making these policies to control the prices. In the year 1400, we implemented the policy of value-added tax, which even applied to basic goods. But the heads of the three branches of the government repealed the law for basic goods to prevent the prices from soaring.
The government tripled cash handouts as it multiplied the number of households receiving them for the new year. But a cash handout of 1.5 million rials is no match for a 40% inflation and transgressional prices. The draft budget bill for this Persian year in 2022 was presented in December 2021 by the President Raisi to Parliament or Majlis. In that $864 billion bill, production and employment are the pivots. This is ironic, as it is a fat government's expenses that have caused much of the cash shortage in the country and therefore minting unbacked money, which led to higher inflation. But Raisi's presidency is new and he doesn't appear eager to carry on with the policies inherited from presidents past. Mr. Bakhtiari is chief of the Imam Khomeini Relief Foundation. He gave us some of his time via Skype.
Imam Khomeini Relief Foundation has been evaluating employment conditions and requirements for some 350 cities. Lately, in cooperation with the Islamic Azad University, we've been evaluating even more cities and identified jobs that would result in sustainable income for every city, and started to plan skill learning courses with the help from Iran's Technical and Vocational Training Organization. I see a bright future for employment, entrepreneurship, and production across the cities and villages.
In his new draft budget bill, public resources are estimated at 13.72 quadrillion rials, which is over $326.5 billion, and the government's budget at about under $358.5 billion, with an increase of 9.2% compared to the Iranian year past, the year 1400, that is. Revenues from exporting oil, gas, and gas condensate are estimated at under $91 billion. That's 8.5% more than the figure in last Iranian year's budget. Tax and customs incomes are predicted at under $134 billion. That's a 73% rise from last year, and it has caused much frustration at the thought that the government will try to make up for official inefficiency and corruption by dipping into the pockets of the people. People assembling to help those in need is a tradition here, but on a voluntary basis, with the government just rallying volunteers.
People's spending in Nowruz, 1399 and 1400, was at its lowest. The same was true over the past 2 years, too. Businesses haven't been so prosperous. Thankfully, in the days leading up to the Nowruz this year, there has been a new upturn for businesses. From a few months ago, the production sector saw a boost in manufacturing goods for the new year, including clothing such as shoes and bags, nuts, decorations, furniture, curtains, and others. The production is still lower than before the pandemic began, but it's been significantly better compared to the past 2 years. Thankfully, there is a new economic activity led by these businesses, and we hope that it would result in the prosperity of businesses and the creation of job opportunities in all trade and industrial sectors.
Raisi appears to choose pragmatism over compassion to steer administrative measures toward longer-term improvements. So while stressing Islamic society should be governed on the basis of social justice, he said, the reform of structures and indicators takes precedence over the care of the poor and needy. But at the same time, with the implementation of long-term and structural programs and measures, the poor and needy must be treated with dignity and urgent plans to eliminate absolute poverty.
One of our programs for the new year is to create 500,000 jobs. Thankfully, the parliament has allocated 25 billion tomans as zero-interest lending to Imam Khomeini's Relief Foundation. God willing, we can accomplish our mission with the help of the central bank and other operating banks. Some ask whether the employment benefits are only for those under the coverage of the Relief Foundation. The answer is that although those covered take priority, those who need help, even if they're not covered, will be assisted and will receive employment benefits. Our priorities are those living in villages.
To address the poor and needy, the president's measures are to update the Welfare and Social Security Comprehensive Information System and to make use of people's capacities in planning and providing public assistance. In other words, burden sharing with the government, which the people did do in the early days of the corona pandemic.
In addition to the very important discussion of employment, we have an important program called vocational and skills training which precedes employment. Those who take the course take priority in receiving the zero-interest loans. Therefore, we've signed a memorandum of understanding with the Ministry of Cooperatives, Labor, and Social Welfare, and the Technical and Vocational Training Organization a month ago to create such training programs for 500,000 people. The MO also requires 12,000 units in the private sector to join the programs. The Technical and Vocational Training Organization itself has 450 training centers which will also be used under the Memorandum of Understanding.
Time for another use of nature, papermaking and reading, as I invite you to take a look at what other media sources have to say. Our news of the day is basically New Year messages from the leaders of the country focusing on domestic production as a means of improving the economy. The Tehran Times quotes the leader, who titles New Year as a year of production, knowledge-based and job-creating. Leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, addressed the nation on the occasion of the Iranian New Year, March the 20th, 2022, felicitating the nation on the occasion of Nowruz and calling on the government and nation to work hard to boost knowledge-based production and create new jobs. The leader re-emphasized the importance of boosting domestic production as he had done in past years, saying the reason he placed so much emphasis on it is because it boosts economic growth, creates employment, reduces inflation, increases per capita income, and improves public welfare. Furthermore, it also brings about psychological effects since it boosts national self-confidence and creates a sense of dignity in the nation. Production is such an elixir. National production is this important if it is carried out, of course, in the best possible way, God willing. Ayatollah Khamenei designated the new Iranian calendar year of 1401 as the year of production, knowledge-based and job-creating. Mehr News quotes the president, Iran's economy not to be left in limbo pending of JCPOA, stating that the country and economy would not be left in limbo pending the conclusion of the JCPOA. The president said that while engaging in Vienna negotiations, the government put its focus on thwarting sanctions. He made the remarks in his New Year message aired live from the Grand Mosque of the southwestern Iranian port city Khorramshahr on Sunday evening, March the 20th. My first Nowruz message as the servant of the public is the message of round-the-clock and incessant work to build a powerful and advanced Iran, he said. No nation and no country has achieved anything without intensive work and the maximum use of human and natural resources. The new year and the new century should be the beginning of a new era of productive, useful, fruitful, and progressive work for us all. During the current year, God willing, the issue of employment will be our first and foremost issue, Iran's president said, adding that unemployment is the root cause of all economic and social plights. As a result, he noted, supporting domestic production is at the top of his administration's agenda. That'll be it for the news section today.
Raisi, heading the Islamic Republic's 13th government, spoke at its first meeting of the Supreme Council of Welfare and Social Security. That's when and where the Minister of Labour, Cooperation and Social Welfare presented a report on the welfare of Iranian households in terms of income, education, health, housing, access to water and energy facilities and infrastructure. And his ministry was assigned to prepare a comprehensive poverty alleviation program with the cooperation of other agencies and present it at the Council's next meeting. Also, a program was approved to combat child malnutrition. The country has a rich 2-3-pronged budget to dip into for damage control. Apart from an oil budget that has shrunken thanks to sanctions on exports and consequential smuggling, with oil revenues lost and exchanges off the books, there is money from foundations originally established to provide for the needy by different means. A generally preferred means being the generation of money by business to give 50% to the poor and to put 50% into or back into industry and business to regenerate yet more for the poor. Now, it's a lot of money to handle, and where individuals get involved, funds can go mismanaged. Even management needs supervision, which is the case also with corona combating policies. How is that relevant here? Well, while Persians' purchasing power may be wanting, the average traveler carrying dollars to this country can buy 10 items for one. The variety of handicrafts is mind-boggling, as is the wealth of historic and architectural sites and geological geographic sites and multicolored customs and clothes in this four-season mini-continent, Iran. All wonders have come together here, and it's still cheap. What better time to visit than spring? Now, what's been done to make it safe with Omicron and prospective strains of the pandemic on the horizon? Our show guest tells.
The COVID-19 task force and Iran's Chamber of Trade Unions adopted policies to have people adhere to safety protocols as much as possible. With the Chamber's efforts aimed at raising awareness, 85% of the 3 million entrepreneurs in Iran were vaccinated. Overall, 32% of Iran's population have received their booster shots, but 38% of the 3 million entrepreneurs have taken their third jabs. Observing the protocols, including using face masks and disinfectants, proper ventilation, regular cleaning of the environment, and completely eliminating the use of paper bills for payment, were among the matters that helped prevent the spread of the virus in different businesses.
For a short break. We'll be back in no time.
This is Iran Today. Iran Today is broadcast every week on Fridays and Saturdays. The series analyzes major political, economic, cultural, and social events concerning Iran. So don't miss the opportunity to listen to Iran Today on IRIB English Radio.
Domestic tourism to Tehran is practically being encouraged for Nowruz, as the overpopulated capital is a peaceful village, relatively, during the two-week New Year holidays. COVID-19, as it sends some 200,000 employees, mostly of the services sector, into unemployment in just 1 week of shutdowns, sent tourism into a lull. But this year, the Ministry of Cultural Heritage, Tourism and Handicrafts is among authorities trying to make up for the loss with a rebound.
In conjunction with Tehran Municipality, we've created a multilingual website called Visit Tehran. Those interested can visit the website and discover historical sites, tourist spots, tours and their opening hours.
Some 300 deaf players from Kurdistan have been lined up for entertainment in the capital. They've been scheduled to perform on Tabiat or Nature Bridge at the heart of Tehran, and Milad Tower, as usual, will have bands and sales from all over the country. And this is a multicolored and cultured country of the mostly fair-skinned and black-eyed to the blue-eyed or dark-skinned, singing in different dialects and even three prominent different languages.
Our goal is to be good hosts for tourists who are coming here. Therefore, the recreational and tourist centers and historical sites have been prepared to receive the tourists, both Iranians and those coming from abroad. We have taken steps including renovation of the buildings and training guides to better help the tourists. We've printed catalogs and booklets for those tourists who are interested in finding out more about the items at the museums and historical sites.
Now, this doesn't all just happen out of the blue. There's an unveiling whereby the winter is peeled off and the spring is eased in. Now, that's preluded by Khane Tekhani, or spring cleaning, to get rid of the dust and its ills and start with a clean slate for friends and family to visit, as well as the spirits of lost loved ones. Then there's shopping, buying new clothes and fish and rice and herbs for New Year's Eve's dinner or New Year lunch. In this year's case, New Year dinner.
It all goes back to the long-standing tradition of celebrating the evolution of the year. This tradition has existed, and people have been celebrating Nowruz and the New Year even before Islam. The concept of celebrating the New Year isn't something unique. All religions mark the start of the year one way or another. But none celebrate the New Year according to exact astronomical calculations. For example, the New Year in the Gregorian calendar comes at the stroke of midnight on January the 1st. But we don't have a specific time for the start of the New Year. Depending on the year in our solar calendar, the exact time the year changes will be different. This year, the New Year comes at about 7 p.m., but next year it'll move. This is a sort of innovation and creativity in our celebrations.
Also, there's two more tables to set, one with fruits and nuts and traditional sweets for guests, and another, the haftin table. Now, what does that comprise? Seven items, beginning with the sound S, are symbolically set on the table. Senjed or dried oleaster symbolizes wisdom. Sabze or sprouts symbolize rebirth. Sib or apple. Samanu or wheat germ pudding is a sign of power. Sir or garlic is a sign of medicine and good health. Serke or vinegar symbolizes patience. And sumak symbolizes sunrise and good conquering evil. Anyhow, there are additions to the table apart from the vital seven S's, and those are, say, coins or sekke, symbolizing wealth and bounty, flowers, a mirror and candlesticks, painted eggs, symbolizing fertility, and goldfish. Generally, all the items are put on the table to bring good luck, wealth, and happiness to the family.
We've never divided Nowruz into pre- and post-Islamic periods. Nowruz is a ritual that has been passed down to us from our fathers and ancestors. This ritual is spreading day by day, and research is being done on it. One of the points that all Iranians like very much is the seven sin. Every house in every region and every city have seven sin as a symbol of Nowruz, and in fact, all Iranians prepare the seven sin table.
I talked of a fish and green rice meal. While rice, our staple diet, went up to 1 million rials a kilo in recent months, that's about $4, and a kilo makes for one meal for 5 to 8 people. That's while the average Iranian wage earner gets $100 to $200 a month. To control prices, although tough to control enough, the government does this. Each year, the government announces measures to control prices, such as subsidizing food items, providing and distributing basic goods via public chain stores, banning exports, and imposing punitive measures on wholesaler, middlemen, and retailers who tend not to abide by state-designated prices.
With the help of the Interior Ministry and the National COVID-19 Task Force, a new website dubbed Iran Eman or My Iran was created. All economic actors must receive a QR code from the system. People can scan the smart QR code to find out if those working at the business have had positive COVID tests and also the date of the last positive test they have received. This can help with public health, enabling people to realize whether there is an infected person somewhere so they won't go to those places. Such plans will make the COVID-19 management systems much smarter.
According to the Islamic Parliament Research Center, by 1995, about 20% of Iranians lived in poverty. To fast forward, year-on-year poverty, that's $1.90 per day in terms of purchasing power parity, increased about 30% between 2018 and 2019. By the end of 2019, 33% of Iran's population lived in absolute poverty, and 6% were not able to afford sufficient food, which is a minimum of 2,100 calories per day.
It depends on the government's management, and if, like this year, the ATS, which is the basic customs rate for calculating the prices of imported goods, is determined by the dollar at the 4,200 tumans rate, something that didn't happen over the past year. The heads of the three branches of the government intervened and prevented the decree from being implemented. The parliament has passed the law, but we need to wait and see whether the administration would implement it. This is something that will affect the prices at the market.
That'll be it for today. Thanks from the whole team. Do return to the box at the same times next week and each week after. I wish you a very happy new year, if you're in peace, and if not, may you find peace. With the Iranian year 1401.
Seventh Imam, Imam Musa al-Kazim alayhi salatu wa salam, is actually known as Bab al-Hawa'ij.
قال الإمام الكاظم عليه السلام خير الأمور أوسطها.
زيارة of Imam Musa ibn Ja'far al-Kazim عليه السلام.
السلام عليك يا مولاي موسى ابن جعفر ورحمة الله.
This is Dialogue, a program on the famous conversations of Imam Musa al-Kazim عليه السلام.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome, dear listeners. I'm your host, Mehdi, and we're talking about the dialogues of Imam al-Kazim, alayhi salam. Imam Musa ibn Ja'far al-Kazim, alayhi salam, was the direct descendant of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, and he was also the seventh divinely appointed Imam from among the household of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings upon him and his holy household. Now, we find that Imam Musa al-Kazim's life, in all of its various dimensions, is distinguished in a few things. First of all, he is distinguished in the firmness and the strength for which he stood up for when it came to the right, to truth, to haq. We also find his steadfastness in front of all kinds of events, trials and tribulations, good or bad. And we also see Imam Musa al-Kazim's luminous behavior, his actions, his morals, and his ethics, of which no deviation or crookedness has ever been reported. And finally, the life of Imam Musa al-Kazim alayhi salam is marked by balance. It is in harmony with that of the life of the Prophet Muhammad. These are his dialogues.
<音楽><音楽>
قال الإمام الكاظم عليه السلام: إن السيئات لا تخلو من إحدى ثلاث، إما أن تكون من الله وليست منه، فلا ينبغي للرب أن يعذب العبد على ما لا يرتكب، وإما أن تكون منه ومن العبد وليست كذلك، فلا ينبغي للشريك القوي أن يظلم الشريك الضعيف، وإما أن تكون من العبد وهي منه، فإن عفا فبكرمه وجوده، وإن عاقب فبذنب العبد وجريرته.
Imam Musa al-Kazim alayhi salam stated, sins cannot be other than one of the three cases. Either they originate from Allah, which they do not, and in this case, it would not be proper for the Lord to punish his servants for what he has not committed, or that they originate from him and the servants together, which they do not, and in this case, it would not be proper for the strong partner to wrong the weak partner, or that they originate from the servants, which they do. And in this case, if Allah forgives, it is due to His kindness and liberality. Or if He punishes, it is as a result of the sin and crime of the servants.
Welcome back, dear listeners. It's great to have you with us on the program. You're listening to Dialogue on IRIB English Radio. So, dear friends, in the beautiful conversations and dialogues of Imam Al-Kadhim alayhi salam, we find that he talks to his companions and his relatives about certain aspects of life, certain things that are a cure or help another certain thing, right? And so we find in this specific conversation that Imam Al-Kadhim has with his companions, he talks about these two things, and within each one of these things, you have things that are related to one another. So I'll talk about the conversation so that it is a little bit clearer what we're talking about. Imam Al-Kadhim alayhi salam, he says to his companions, fortify your possessions through paying zakat, the religious tax, and repel tribulations via supplications, dua. For dua, supplication, is a shield that repels tribulations, even if it is adopted with an adoption. Now here, Imam Al-Kadhim alayhi salam, he connects two things with two things. If you want to fortify your possessions, if you want to solidify your possessions, if you want to protect your possessions, then you should pay the zakat, the religious tax. And so here, the fortifying of possessions is connected with the paying of zakat. The second two things that Imam Al-Kadhim alayhi salam connects is to repel tribulations. It is via supplications that you can repel tribulation. And he continues and he says that supplication, dua, is a shield that repels tribulation. Now here, of course, if we want to protect our possessions, we usually want to go to the bank or we want to get an insurance policy or things like that, which in and of itself, these aren't necessarily things that are not recommended. I mean, you can do those things if you want. But truly, if you want to fortify your possessions, then it is done through the paying of zakat. And on the other hand, if you want to repel tribulations, of course, you must, put forth your own effort. You must try hard. You must do what you can and what is within your power in order to repel tribulation. But at the end of the day, one of the fundamental factors in repelling tribulations is this idea and this concept and this action of supplication, of dua. This
is Dialogue Imam Al-Kadhim alayhi salam.
IRIB English Radio. You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Now let's listen to Brother Muhammad Al-Hilli, who's going to talk about today's topic.
Narration, some narrations say 9 years, some say 15 years, others say 20 years of his life, he was back and forth in the prisons and in the dungeons of the Abbasids. Firstly, he was taken to Basra. And there was a man by the name of Isa, Isa ibn Ja'far. This man had Imam Musa ibn Ja'far in his house, because this notion of the prisons needs to be understood. There were two types of prisons. There were public prisons and there were private prisons. At the beginning, what the caliphs would do would be that they would take the imams of the Ahlul Bayt and they would say to someone that you keep him housebound and under house arrest in your house. But this man, Isa, would say that Musa ibn Ja'far would be an individual who would spend his day in the process of fasting and his night in ibadah and prostration and salah, and therefore I will not be able to keep him anymore. I have to release him. Harun was fearful that Imam Musa ibn Ja'far would be released. At that instance, he commands that Imam is taken where? Imam is taken to Baghdad, through a number of prison cells. Eventually, he gets to the prison cell belonging to Fudayl ibn Rabi, or Rabi ibn Fudayl. What happens was that when he was there, the narrations tell us that Harun would come and inspect where the Imam was. What is it that he was doing? On top of the ceiling, he would see in the courtyard a piece of cloth that is being thrown on top of the ground. He would say to the particular individual, what is happening there? What can you see there? The response would be that this is Musa ibn Ja'far in his sujood. He had reached the state whereby he was so weak that his body would not be distinguished under a particular covering.
Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Dialogue. Don't forget to visit our website at farstoday.com/EN, Call of Islam page, where you can find all of our previous programs and many others as well. Until another episode, fi amanillah, and God bless you all.
On behalf of myself and all of my colleagues here at IRIB English Radio, we wish you a wonderful Nowruz, full of happiness and prosperity.
Muhammad is my guide, Muhammad is my teacher, Muhammad my beloved Rasulullah.
I want to be like you.
Like you.
In everything I do, Ya Rasulullah.
I want to walk like you, talk like you, read my Quran just like you. Rasulullah.
A'udhu billahi min shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to Like Muhammad with me, Javed Akbari. Well, Allah the Almighty has given man intellect and made him a creature who thinks and differentiates between good and evil. He shows him what is the best thing and what is the worst thing, and what is the most desirable thing and what is the most abominable, you know, reprehensible deeds. Man actually is cognizant of the fact that injustice, lying, and tormenting others are hateful, while justice, truthfulness, and being benevolent are good. Because man has been given the power, the faculty of intellect to distinguish between good and bad. So his ability to think makes him distinct from animals, to love good, praiseworthy, and moral behavior, and to dislike bad and immoral conduct. And this is in his nature, this is in his fitra. And we understand that God has given man the capacity to differentiate between what is good and what's bad, what is decent and what is indecent. It is man's sense of morals that is among the essential characteristics which distinguish him from other creatures. Animals neither know morals or principles nor are responsible in any way as human beings actually are. Human beings are totally different from other creatures. Human beings are able to differentiate between what is good and what is righteous and what is bad and evil. Brothers and sisters, a man who is characterized by bad morals like lying, cheating, being unjust, deceitful, and hypocritical is worse than, you know, than an animal, and his existence in human society is danger to all people. So Islam teaches us, the Holy Prophet of Islam teaches us as human beings to follow a life of principles characterized by the best moral virtues and to avoid wrongful behavior.
My heart is so full of longing. I wish to be close to my beloved. I dream to walk in the streets of Medina and to quench the thirst of my spirit by visiting you, O Muhammad.
The Holy Prophet of Islam explains through his saying, when he said, إِنَّمَا بَعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ, I was sent to complete the best of morals, that among the fundamental aims of Islam is to educate man with the most virtuous principles and to steer him clear from vices, from immoral conduct, from indecency, from corruption, from mischief, and from whatever is considered to be evil. And a man, obviously, with a bad character causes harm not only to society but also to himself. He who tells lies, does unjust deeds, backbites, hates, deceives, and betrays others surely loses the trust and respect of others, because we have said time and again in our previous episodes that, of course, man is a creature, a social creature that needs to interact with other people. When he backbites, when he hates, when he deceives others, and when he betrays others, he himself who loses the trust, who loses the respect of others, others will not trust him, others will not interact with him. And of course, we learn from the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, who is a role model for all humanity and for Muslims, that we need to be truthful, we need to be honest. The Prophet of Islam was the most honest person in Arabia. No one was more honest than he was. Now, let us further discuss it, because we discuss akhlaq from the viewpoint of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and based on his teachings and his conduct and his tradition. When we talk about man, an ill-tempered man, he exposes himself to Allah's anger as well as to people's aversion, to people's hatred. He causes the spread of corruption in social life, and he becomes a decaying influence. He becomes a destroyer, actually, among the people. That's why the Holy Prophet of Islam warns us against such ill-natured and against such ill-tempered men through his sermon. He says, whoever is ill-tempered causes harm to himself. And in this saying, he instructs Muslims to be good-mannered and to be virtuous as the path towards man's perfection. You know, virtuousness and good manner are means through which